الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه. Brother, sit down please. Pray two rak'at. أخي, get up and pray تحية المسجد. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His forgiveness and we ask His assistance. ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. And we seek refuge with Allah from the evil within our souls and the consequences of our bad deeds. مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهِ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهِ. Whosoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهِ. And whosoever He allows to go astray because they do not want any guidance, then no one can guide. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهِ. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of our worship except Allah alone with no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the servant and his messenger. May Allah exalt his mention, may Allah grant him peace, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Amma ba'd. As to what follows, brothers in Islam, I remind myself and you to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do that which we were commanded, and to stay away from that which we were forbidden from indulging in, be it little sins or major sins. Be it what the people consider to be good or what the people consider to be bad, it is what Allah considers to be good or Allah considers to be bad, and not the creation. قال الزهري رحمه الله دخلت على أنس بن مالك بدمشق وهو يبكي قلت ما يبكيك قال لا أعرف شيئا مما عهدت على مما أدركت على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا هذه الصلاة وهذه الصلاة قد ضيعت. الزهري said, I went and entered upon Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه in Damascus while he was crying, and I said to him, what makes you cry? Why are you crying? He said, there is nothing left which I witnessed at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which remains except the salah, and now the salah has been lost. What he was talking about during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the salah was virtuous, had a value. In his time, this is very recent, very soon, very close to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's a Sahabi. He said, there's nothing left which I see among the people that they used to do back then except the Salah. Everything else is lost. Now this very Salah has also been lost. It has been abandoned. It has been neglected. It has been wasted. They are saying this back then. This is a Sahabi saying this to a Tabi'i, a companion, saying it to one, the generation that followed the companions. Then what do we say about the Salah today? If they considered the Salah to be lost and wasted and abandoned and neglected at the time of the Sahaba, my brothers in Islam, what do we say about our condition with the Salah today? Wallahi, it has been lost. It has been abandoned and neglected far more than what they were discussing on that particular day. But this is no shock to us, because Allah described this reality in the Quran, wherein Allah Azza wa Jal said, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. So they were followed with the generation. أضاعوا الصلاة. They neglected the salah. They abandoned the salah. واتبعوا الشهوات. And they followed their desires. فسوف يلقون غيا. Allah promised that they shall taste the punishment. غيا, according to some of the ulama, is a valley in the hellfire.
according to others in the tafsir, that ghayya is simply a threat and a punishment from Allah in any form that it may come. Allah promised those who abandon the salah and they follow their desires that there shall be punishment for their negligence. And abandoning the salah, or the abandonment of the salah, is at various stages. They're not all the same. And allow me this particular day to enumerate some of them. So my brothers in Islam, you and I, we evaluate ourselves according to these standards. Where do we fall? Are we among those who have abandoned the salah in any way, shape or form? Or are we among those who are maintaining and safeguarding and protecting their salah? I will not make the judgment against any one of you, and you cannot make a judgment against me, but we will judge ourselves. And ultimately, if we lie to ourselves, we cannot lie to Allah. Even if we make a false judgment, Allah knows. And we will be held accountable on the Day of Judgment for the knowledge of Allah, for what He knew from our negligence and our shortcomings. The first form of abandoning the salah and neglecting the salah is totally abandoning the salah. No salah at all. Someone who calls himself a Muslim, his passport says that he's a Muslim, his name is Muhammad bin Abdullah or something along these lines. However, this person does not pray the five daily prayers. This person is a kafir, disbeliever. He is outside the boundaries of Islam. In fact, there's no room in Islam for him. He is not welcome. He is not counted among the Muslims. If he were to die, we will not pray janazah for him. And prior to that, we will not wash him. And afterwards, we will not bury him in the Muslim graveyard, because he is a disbeliever. You don't believe me, that's fine. But you need to read the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the matter will become clear. I understand that the scholars have differed concerning this ruling. However, we follow the textual evidences. And among the strongest ones is the ayah I quoted earlier. So they were followed up with a generation that abandoned the salah and they followed their desires, they shall enter Jahannam and be punished. Then Allah said in the coming ayah afterwards, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنْ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. Except he who repents and believes and then does righteous deeds. Meaning, at the time of abandoning the salah, belief was not there. So it was required of them to repent to Allah, establish belief, and then do righteous deeds for them to be exempt from this particular ruling. And the ayat are too many, and so are the narrations. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bayna al-rajuli wal-kufri wal-shirki tarku salah." Between a man and kufr and shirk is abandoning the salah. العهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة من تركها فقد كفر. The covenant between us and them is the prayer. Whoever abandons it has disbelieved. And the ayat and the narrations are too many to deal with from this minbar. The point being, my brother in Islam, you and I cannot afford to abandon the salah completely at any stage in our lives. And if we had done so in the past, we need to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never, never go back to abandoning the salah. Never. And if you have relatives who are in this state, it is our obligation to give them da'wah. It is our obligation to educate them concerning the seriousness of the salah. How can someone believe in Allah and know that Allah prescribed these prayers, however he is too busy to worship his Lord? What kind of iman is this? It is inconceivable that this person has any iman in his heart, knowing that abandoning the salah constitutes apostasy, someone turning away from Islam. This is the first category of abandoning the salah. Insha'Allah ta'ala, none of you fall under this category. Insha'Allah, the fact that you're here is an indication that you probably don't fall under this category, unless you are among those who pray Jumu'ah only and forget about Allah for the rest of the week. Insha'Allah, you will not be among them. The second category, my brothers in Islam, is when someone abandons parts of the salah. And this person is in great, great danger. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ سَرِقَةً الَّذِي يَسْرُقُ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ. قالوا كيف يسرق من صلاته يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يتم ركوعها ولا سجودها. He said عليه الصلاة والسلام, the worst kind of robbery that a man may commit is when he steals from a salah. They said, O Messenger of Allah, how can someone steal from a salah? He said, he does not perfect, he does not fulfill its bowing and its prostration. He does not fulfill its bowing and its prostration. Hasty, speedy, as if the police are chasing him. You find a brother who walks into the masjid 20 minutes before the iqamah. Wallahi, he got nothing on his agenda but to remain in the masjid. And he does the salah in a minute and a half. A minute and a half. Just exercise, going up and down, up and down. What is this? What is this salah? If we were to stand in front of a king, we would be ashamed to move too quickly. We will not be looking around, and we will deal with this in the later part of the khutbah bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. The point being, my brothers in Islam, we need to give the salah its due right. Don't steal from your salah. Give the salah what it deserves. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw a man pecking his prostration like a chicken when it eats from the ground, and he was not fulfilling its ruku'. He said, if this man were to die, he will be dying upon a religion other than the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did you pay attention? He said, if he were to die in the state praying like this, he will be dying upon a religion غير ملة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, other than the religion of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, which is what? To worship Allah with love, with adoration, with respect, with magnifying Allah in our hearts in the salah, in the salah. And this is the second form. The third form of abandoning the salah is where someone abandons some of the prayers, particularly Fajr and Isha. Even though the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the heaviest salah, the heaviest prayer upon the hypocrites is Salatul Fajr and Salatul Isha, or Salatul Fajr and Salatul Isha. Why? Because their iman in Allah is insufficient to make them wake up at the time where people love to rest. Even though the muadhin will be saying in the adhan, As-salatu khayrun min al-nawm. Salat is better than prayer. The one sleeping is saying in his behavior, nay, but the sleeping is better than the salah. So you will find the masajid, in Salatul Asr or Dhuhr, there are 5, 6, 8, 10 rows. In Salatul Fajr, there are 2. Where are the brothers? Sleeping. Yeah, but this is the salah of the munafiq. This is the condition of the munafiq. These are the ones who may be in the hellfire because of this behavior of theirs. Brothers in Islam, wallahi, wallahi, disbelievers in other countries wake up at 4 in the morning so their dog can go out and defecate. Their dog who lives at home with them licks the same ice cream as they lick. In order for the dog to relieve himself at that particular time, they wake up in the morning and take the dog outside, clean after him, and come back home. For a dog. And a Muslim cannot wake up for Allah. A Muslim is sleeping during Fajr, watching TV till 3 in the morning, talking about, brother, I slept late. Brother, what are you doing on TV anyways? What are you doing wasting your time? If you're going to sleep for Fajr, you better go to sleep early. Finish your business and go to sleep early, so you may wake up for Fajr. We cannot afford to do this. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say, during their time, the one who missed Salatul Jama'ah was known to be a hypocrite. The one who missed Salatul Fajr and Salatul Isha, they were known to be among the hypocrites. And we cannot afford to do that. The fourth category or stage is those who abandon Salatul Jama'ah. They don't pray in congregation. Even though the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned that he was about to burn down the houses of men who do not show up for Salatul Jama'ah. Had it not been for the women and the children, he would have burned down their houses. However, he didn't do so sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as means of protecting the family. But for the men, he wanted to burn their houses down. The brother hears the adhan in the masjid and he prays at home. This is not befitting, nor is it acceptable. Listen to this narration. أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجل أعمى أعمى قال يا رسول الله إنه ليس لي قائد يقودني إلى المسجد. فسأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يرخص له فيصلي في بيته. فرخص له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فلما ولى دعاه قال هل تسمع النداء بالصلاة؟ قال نعم. قال فأجبه. A blind man. Blind. Anyone blind here? A blind man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, Oh Messenger of Allah, I am blind and I have no one to guide me to the masjid. In another narration which is authentic, he said there are a lot of animals, wild animals in Medina at that time. He is risking his life. I have no one to guide me to the masjid, blind. So he asked Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to give him the concession to pray at home. Out of mercy, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam allowed him in the very early stage. However, when the man started walking away, as if revelation was given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so he said to the man, do you hear the call for the prayer? He said, Naam. He said, then respond. Not anymore. A blind man in the streets of Medina with wild beasts was not allowed to pray at home. Then what about me and you? Fully functioning with vehicles and all means of transportation, healthy, and we can see, alhamdulillah. What is our excuse, my brothers in Islam? We have no excuse. We have no excuse to be abandoning Salatul Jama'ah. This is in terms of threatening. What about reward? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Salatul Jama'ah tafdulu an Salatul Fadh bi 27 daraja. Salah in congregation exceeds in reward the salah done individually by 27 times. 27 times? Do you know what that means? Let me give you a cheap worldly example. Toothpaste. Who doesn't need a toothpaste nowadays? We all do. Imagine if any grocery store told you, brother, if you buy one toothpaste for 2 riyals, we will give you 27 for free. Where will we go? Would you buy your toothpaste from any other store? No way. 27 for the price of one? We will be standing in a line. We will form a queue, Muslims. We will form a queue in front of the store, waiting in line 2 hours before the store opens. Why? 27 toothpaste, akhi. I'll be saving money. MashaAllah. For the dunya. For the dunya cheap. We will do this. But tell the brother Salah to Jama'ah 27 times. No. It's not for me. Malish. I will pray at home. Misunderstanding. This is a misunderstanding of the deen and the purpose of life. It should be the other way around. When we are told this 27 times the reward of Salah, we should hasten for that. Forget about the toothpaste. Forget about the toothpaste. This should be our attitude. The fifth stage of abandoning the Salah is abandoning the first row. Abandoning the first row. Even though the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of rows for the men are the front ones, and the most evil are the back ones. The more you are behind, excuse me brothers in the behind, some of you have reasons why you're sitting in the back, some of you are simply late, no offense to anyone. The more you are behind, the more evil your row. And the more you are in the front, the more blessed and the better. This is the reality. This is one element of that. The other element that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لو أن الناس يعلمون ما في النداء والصف الأول ثم لم يجدوا إلا أن يستهموا عليه لاستهموا عليه. If the people only knew what was awaiting them of reward in the call of the adhan, nida, calling the people for the salah, the reward of the adhan and the reward of the first row, and they had no option but to draw lots so they may acquire and attain this virtue, they would have done so. Today, you don't have to draw lots. All you have to do is wake up half an hour early. This Friday calamity continues. It seems like it's a disease that aches the heart. We are still hoping that the condition will change. That one of these times, times, one of these times, we will come to the masjid at 11:30, at 11:45, at 12 o'clock, one of these times. But it doesn't seem to be working. It continues to be 12:25 sharp. You and the Imam simultaneously. And we said, my brothers in Islam, wallahi, this is not befitting. Ya Shaykh, it's Friday. What are you doing on Friday? Are you building? Are you constructing buildings? Are you cleaning the floor? What are you doing on Friday? Nothing. 98% of us are doing absolutely nothing except eating and drinking and sleeping. Is this why we were created? Can we not sacrifice for the sake of Allah with half an hour of our time and come here early? Can't we do so? When are we going to do this? How often are we going to mention this? Why don't we change? What do we want from the dunya? Do we not understand the objective of life? If we do so, why don't we make a change? It is not befitting, my brother, to come after the imam. It is not befitting to come with the imam. Rather, it is not befitting to come 5 minutes before the imam. Sufyan al-Thawri used to say, لا تكن مثل عبد السوء لا يأتي حتى يدعى ائتي الصلاة قبل النداء. Sufyan used to say, don't be like the evil slave. He does not come until people call him. Come to the prayer before you are called. Come to the salah. Before people call you, you come, you hasten. The first row. The first row. In an authentic narration, authenticated by Shaykh al-Albani. Pay attention to this one. This is the most dangerous hadith I will quote today. Bi-Iznillah. This hadith is the most dangerous I will quote today. Pay attention. لا يزال قوم يتأخرون عن الصف الأول حتى يؤخرهم الله في النار. Authentic narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People will continue to stay behind and lag, miss out on this first row until Allah will delay them in the hellfire. Until Allah will delay them in the hellfire. You are delayed for the first row, consequently you'll be delayed in Jahannam. You will not make it to Jannah. What does that mean? It means we must strive. Now we are human beings. You may not be able to pray the 5 daily prayers in the first row early. However, this should be our attitude. When we are late, when there's traffic, when we, whatever the reason, this is another situation. But the asl, the principles that we strive, when we fall short, Allah al-musta'an. But not the other way around. Where our general condition is negligence about the salah. And you see this from the people of da'wah. You see this from the mashayikh. You get shocked and traumatized. What did we leave for the regular people, my brothers, those of you who give da'wah? What did we leave? If we wait while the adhan is being called and we're still just running our mouths. We need to be an example for the people and come to the masjid early. To the best of our ability. It is not befitting. And the sixth stage of abandoning the salah is abandoning takbiratul ihram, or what is called at-takbiratul ula, the initial takbira, which is saying Allahu Akbar, by which we enter into the salah. Sa'id ibn Musayyib said, wallahi lam yu'adhdhin al-mu'adhdhin mundu 30 sana illa wa ana fil masjid. He said, wallahi, for 30 years the mu'adhdhin did not call the adhan except that I was in the salah, I was in the masjid. 30 years. He is in the masjid before the muazzin, 30 years. Wakil used to say, مَنْ لَمْ يُدْرِكِ التَّكْبِيرَةَ الْأُولَى فَلَا تَرْجُ خَيْرًا. Whoever does not make it for the first takbira, do not expect any goodness from this man. Sufyan ibn Uyayna said, Sufyan, عفوا, Ibrahim al-Taymi said, مَنْ لَمْ يُدْرِكِ التَّكْبِيرَةَ مَنْ رَأَيْتَهُ يَتَهَاوَنْ فِي التَّكْبِيرَةِ الْأُولَى فَاغْسِلْ يَدَكَ مِنْ. If you see the man being negligent about the takbiratul ula, then wash yourself away from him. Do not keep company with him. He will destroy you in the process. Look how they used to be. Look how they used to be takbiratul ihram. The virtuous takbira, which we cannot afford to miss. This was the condition of our righteous predecessors. And then, another form, the seventh stage of abandoning the salah, is abandoning the jama'ah in totality and joining the second jama'ah and the third jama'ah, which is not acceptable. And let it be known for myself and for you that the rewards which were mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah are strictly concerning the first and the original jama'ah, not the second, not the third. So then, some of the ulama are of the opinion anyways that having a second jama'ah in the masjid is not even permissible. It's not permissible. So brothers in Islam, when you come to the salah late, don't be waiting around for the second jama'ah. You must join the first one. For you to get the reward of the jama'ah, you join the first one even before the taslim. You don't wait and make a second jama'ah, because the second jama'ah is not like the first. If you want to avoid that in the future, come early to the salah. And last but not least, and the worst among those, is when we abandon the heart and the soul of the salah, which is what khushu'. Being humbly submissive when we are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is among the calamities that has befallen this ummah. So much so that you enter a masjid and you will hardly be able to find a single person who is praying salah with khushu'. Rather, we see something totally in opposition to this particular reality. So you find someone who's the whole salah busy with this shimal. If you're among those who wear the shimal, where this becomes their main objective and goal, to fix it when we get up from ruku' and before we go down, the whole salah is plain. And other people, they be cracking their fingers in the salah, trying to look for all the bones in their body which they can pop in the salah, bothering themselves and the people around them. Other people clean their nails in the salah. They scratch their head, see what is left over, clean it in the salah, in the salah. Another person remembers he has an appointment, let me look at the time, in the salah. Another one will be looking at you. You'll be leaving the masjid and he'll be praying, and he'll watching you from the time you walk until you pass him. Why are you praying, ya akhi? Why are you praying, ya brother? Why are you praying? You're looking around. What are you looking around for? How are you understanding what you're saying to Allah? How are you understanding the salah if you are observing everything around you? The Prophet ﷺ used to keep his eyes on the place of sujood. That's it. You look where you will be making the prostration. You don't be looking around. We do not, and we cannot afford to pray in this particular fashion. We should not be hasty in our salah. We should not rush through the salah. We must understand that we are standing in front of the King of all kings. And as I mentioned earlier, when we stand in front of the king from the kings of the dunya, we would be shaking like this. If you were to meet the king, the president of your country, you put on your best clothes. You will look nice. You will go there and you will shake in front of him. If he's speaking to you, you'll be looking at him. You won't be looking around. You won't be checking your nails. You won't be looking at the watch. Why? Disrespectful. It's disrespectful. And he may kick you out from his presence. Say, get out of here. You can't look at me in the eye for a few minutes. We will do this with the king who was about to perish. But with Allah Azza wa Jal, the King of all kings, no problem. No problem, brother. I do whatever makes me happy. But this is not befitting for the believer. From now on, when we pray, when we stand in the salah, we must bring to mind, who are we praying to? Who is the one observing you? Who is the one who is responding to you? Who is the one who knows what's in the depth of your heart? Who is the one you're begging for guidance? Who is the one who controls Jannah and Jahannam? Who is the one who will allow you to be the one? We must bring these to mind so we may pray in a manner which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How are we going to be successful? How are we going to be successful without khushu'? And Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. They have attained success, the believers who are humbly submissive in their salah. It is only them who will be successful. Only them. We cannot attain this status, this level, unless we get khushu' in our salah. Unless we stand humbly in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This requires effort, but it is worthy. It is worthy, because these will be the successful individuals in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، أحبتي في الله، brothers in Islam, I love you all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I hope that you understand from these reminders that there's an ultimate objective. And this objective is that you and I enter Jannah together. I need the reminder as much as you need the reminder. However, this reminder must be brought to our attention, so we may act upon it. The reason why you hear these statements and these warnings is so we can wake up. Because if no one speaks about them, then it will remain a disease which you are suffering from. Until someone tells you that you have diabetes, you will not start cutting down on sugar until you know that there's a disease. Similarly, until we know that we are suffering in terms of salah, until we recognize this in our hearts, we will not be able to rectify our condition. So the ultimate objective is to fix our situation with Allah, particularly the salah. The salah is so important that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ يُنظَرُ فِي صَلَاتِهِ فَإِنْ صَلُحَتْ فَقَدْ صَلَحَ سَائِرُ عَمَلُهُ وَإِنْ فَسَدَتْ فَقَدْ فَسَدَ سَائِرُ عَمَلُهُ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ فَإِنْ صَلُحَتْ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَأَفْلَحْ وَإِنْ فَسَدَتْ فَقَدْ خَابَ وَخَسِرْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the first thing which the son of Adam will be questioned about on the Day of Judgment is his salah. First thing. Then he went on to say, if it is sound, if it is good, if it is pleasing to Allah, then the rest of his deeds will be similar. The rest of his deeds will be sound, good and pleasing to Allah. Your zakah, your sawm, your hajj, your umrah are relevant and dependent on your salah. If your salah is no good, don't expect any goodness from the other deeds. Do not expect any goodness from the other deeds. Because the salah is the yardstick by which we measure our iman in Allah and our love to Him and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he went on to say, but if it is corrupt, then the rest of his deeds will be corrupt. Our deeds will be in vain if our salah is no good. In another narration he said, if his salah is good, then he will be successful. He will attain victory. And if his salah is no good, then he will be disappointed and regretful. This is the reality that will be facing each and every one of us here in this masjid. There shall come a time where we will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first thing we will be questioned about is this salah. And brothers in Islam, we cannot afford to regret it on that day. Today if you regret, alhamdulillah, Allah will love you. Allah will give you blessings and He will help you fix your situation if we regret today. If we continue to ignore and try to regret on the Day of Judgment, it will be of no benefit. So we need to make a choice today. We need to make a choice today. We cannot afford to be among فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Woe to those who pray who are negligent about their prayer. We cannot afford to do that. From now on, every single salah, we prepare for the salah before the adhan. And when we are not at work, or the situation allows, we come to the salah early, with the muezzin or shortly after. We occupy the first row. We are not like the lazy people who go sit in the back even though the first row is available. We come to the first row because we want the reward and the virtue. We pray tahiyyatul masjid while we are relaxing. So when the time of iqamah is called, we are able to pray with comfortability. But if we were to come late, you know the condition. We'll be tired, we'll be breathing hard, we cannot perform the salah correctly. This should be our condition every day for the five daily prayers. Whenever we fall short, we try to go back to the original state and ask Allah to pardon us. We cannot afford to be lazy anymore. Brother, make this your last week. You will come for Jumu'ah at 12:25. Make this week the last week where you come at 12:25. From next week, inshallah, determine that and have the determination, excuse me, to come early. The earlier, the more reward. You got nothing to lose. Wake up at 8, wake up at 9, have your breakfast, take your shower, put on your nice clothes, and come to the masjid. Come to the masjid, remain in the masjid, and get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should be our attitude. This is the reminder. And Allah is the one who guides. And Allah guides those who take the initiative to be guided. So at the end of the day, it's upon me and you. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make me and you among those who listen to the reminder and they follow the best of it. And those who seek Allah's pleasure in all of their deeds and those who safeguard their prayer. Because if you safeguard your prayer, Allah will safeguard you. If you protect your salah, Allah will protect you from Jahannam and place you in Jannah. And if we waste it, then we may be wasted in Jahannam. Nas'alullah al-afiyah wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.